I've had a passage of scripture that's really been speaking to me lately, and kind of went back and forth, you know, just didn't know what I could do with 5 minutes with it, so I'm just going to go for it. I want someone to read for me. It's kind of a long passage, but if you're a good reader, you can do it. It's in Luke 12, verses 35 through 48. Someone can read that for me.
Luke 12, 35 to 48.
Yeah.
Let your voice be guarded, and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding. If when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will guard himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak to this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household? Give them their portion of food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler of all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying in his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself, but do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much more will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more.
Thank you. Thanks for reading. God, I just pray you open up our hearts to you. And I pray you encourage us. And spur us on to what you have for us. Make yourself really real right now, God. Have your way. When I look at this passage, I was thinking about, there's a passage in Romans, I think it's 11, it talks about, behold the goodness and severity of God. I think sometimes it causes us to realize how really good he is. There's a contrast there, and I really want us to look at that. It's good that we know the whole picture. Jesus didn't leave out something or didn't tell us something. We got it right here. And when I look at this passage, I look about how this is such an excellent way to live. In the context, I thought was kind of interesting too. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, which is really brings it to life for me lately. Because before this passage, it talks about not worrying, the place of money, and how God cares for us. I'm going to start in verse 21. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or clothes to wear. For life is more than food. Your body is more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than any birds. Can all your worrying add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies, how they grow. They don't even work or make their own clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And don't be concerned about what to eat, what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven, and the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. The purses of heaven. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it. No moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there desires your heart will also be. So in this passage, it's talking about what not to be. Not to worry. Really get this home. Don't worry. God will take care of you. I'm taking it to heart. God's taking care of me. And he has something for me, and I don't know what it is yet, but he's taking care of me. And it's interesting. He says, don't worry, because you can't have a single moment to your life. And you can't even take back that moment that you were worrying about. It's kind of interesting, kind of hitting today. How many moments do we spend worrying and life marches on? God's got something greater for us. So in this passage, right, what I just read, don't worry. Don't do this. You know, where's your treasure? You have a choice on that. You know? And then it says, how should you live? This is what the passage is, and this is really, really cool to me. Be dressed for service. And keep your lamps burning. I see that as something we can do, something we're supposed to do, something we're commanded to do. What a way to live. Be dressed for service. Can you get the picture? God asks you to do something. You don't have to get dressed already. You're already dressed for service. You're ready. Be always dressed for service. Not only that, keep your lamps burning. It's not a matter of just being ready, but I take it, be illuminated by God. He's lighting your path. His word is like a lamp unto our path. He's illuminating us, so we're not just working in the dark. Our heart, our lamps are burning so much with passion for God, and we're just ready to see what he's going to say, and we're just ready to do what he's going to ask us to do. But not just that. Be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning, as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. That says to me that what he's telling us to do is important, but this is even more important. When he shows up and knocks on the door, we're ready to drop everything and let him in. There's no waiting. There's no saying, oh, I didn't finish this thing. I didn't do this thing. I have this other thing to do. This is the way to live. Right? Really cool. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. This is pretty important. Jesus is spending a lot of time on this. And many times the Bible talks about reward, but it doesn't say exactly what the reward looks like. But this one does. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. This is really amazing. Jesus served while he was on the earth. And you might have thought that, you know, after he died for our sins, a horrible death, and rose from the grave and ascended to his Father's right hand, he was done with that. We're all about to serve him, right? He showed us the model. He said everything. But this is the glorified Lord coming back to put on an apron and serve us as we sit and eat. That's unbelievable to me. We're dressed for service. And when he comes back, he's dressed for service. To serve us. He did everything. He doesn't have to serve us at that point. He served us like no other person could serve us by dying on the cross for our sins and making a way for us to live with him forever. If he didn't do another thing, that would be the most amazing thing in itself. What's that going to look like? He comes and knocks. We open the door excitedly. That's what it says to me. He comes and sits us down and serves us.
Whoa.
It's going to be an amazing time. What a reward. The one we really love. You know, it says, there's a scripture here. 2 Timothy 4:8, you can look it up. But it says, Paul said he's going to receive a crown of life when Jesus comes back. He says, but not only me, for everyone else who has loved his appearing, not just eagerly waited for his appearing, but loved his appearing. Just loved waiting for that moment when he comes. Yeah, it's going to be better than we even know. It's going to be awesome. The one we love is going to come. Not only are we going to see him face to face and we're going to know who he is and we're going to be just like him, John says, but he's actually going to serve us as we sit and eat, and he's going to eat with us. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. Now that's interesting. Doesn't say he may come this year or next year. Doesn't say he may come this week or next week. Doesn't say he's going to come today or tomorrow. It may be at 12 o'clock today, or 3 o'clock today, or 6 o'clock today. Today. And every day it starts over. Today. It's a portion of the day. He can come today. He can come before the service is over. And it's nothing to be ashamed of, but what are we doing? You know, and I thought about this. This really hit me because sometimes I think I have all the time in the world to obey God. Like if he says, I want you to really go to that person and ask forgiveness. And we say, not today. I don't really feel like it today. Besides, I haven't really seen any response on their part. Well, I just want to put a little reality check in it. Suppose they died. Or suppose you die before the day is up. But you're in good health, you said. That would never happen, really. We don't have the same urgency that God has. God could speak at any day to us to do that. There's a reason why he spoke today. And I can tell you that after I read this, the same day I read this, I was in a situation, and I don't want to get to too many details, but basically, ran into someone I hadn't seen in a long time. And I was really hurt by them. And I didn't know about it till then. At first I was a little distant when we talked, but they kept talking to me. And then I realized that's not the way to be. And as we got to talking, I felt like God said, I want you to take them into an adjoining room and just say you're sorry. And at that point I had a real choice to make. Because I can't explain why, but probably this situation wouldn't happen again for a while because my routine was changing. And you know, it's really something because I had read this and I had realized that was important and I actually heard the voice of God, and this time I really wanted to obey it, and I did that. And they were shocked. I was kind of shocked too. And I tell you, after that, I was able to pray for them. Couldn't pray for them before. And I was so glad I didn't wimp out in that. You know? I was so glad I didn't wimp out. I was so glad I didn't have an excuse. I'm so glad I didn't walk out of the room and say... Because I realized I really want to live like Jesus is coming today, because that does something in us as we read here. It does something. It sets the whole tone. Now, yeah, when I met Jesus a while ago, We all thought he was. We all thought he was going back then. All right. We did, and we lived like that. I mean, God really reminded me. This is how I used to live. Jesus talks a lot about his coming back. So if he talks a lot about it, I feel it's pretty important. It's a way to live. It's a way to live. I think it shows two different kinds of people. Understand this, if the homeowner knew exactly when the burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when you least expect it. Peter asked, Lord, is this illustration just for us or for everyone? The Lord replied, the faithful and sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. But that's kind of his thing. We have a responsibility and a call just to feed one another. You know? I mean, wherever he gives us, his words, his encouragement to others, as well as ourselves. If the master returns and finds his servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. All he owns. But what if the servant thinks, my master won't be back for a while? And he begins beating the other servants, partying, and getting drunk. The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant in pieces and banish him with the unfaithful. Pretty hard work. I don't know what that looks like. I don't want to know what that looks like. But what was the reason why this servant begins beating the other servants, partying, and getting drunk? It says it. He thinks my master won't be back for a while. How easy it is to just get lazy. How easy it is just to think that everything's going to continue the way it continues. Somebody have 2 Peter 3, 4 through 12. If you do, you can read it. This is not a new thing. We all can get into this kind of a head.
What chapter is that?
2 Peter chapter 3, 4 through 12.
They will say, when is this coming, he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being. The earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing. Dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat.
Thanks, Ben. So why are we worrying? Why are we holding on to things? I'm asking myself, too. Because it's all going to be gone. But what's going to remain? It says faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. I'm not saying we're just waiting for Jesus to come back. We're not doing anything. Because the scripture doesn't say that. It says we trust for service. We're ready for service, okay? But the service is not the most important thing. It's important because he led us to do it. But the most important thing is the culmination of everything. That we've been doing what he wants us to do, and we're ready when he comes back. And that drives every day of our lives, what we say and what we do. So if he could come back at any time, would we live differently? Of course we would. Because if we knew for shadow that he was coming back at 3 o'clock today and we had some unfinished business to do that he had told us to do, we would do it. Wouldn't we? But we don't know. And it makes it all the more important. And so I'm not saying that I'm great at this. I'm just learning this, okay? That if he asks you to go and reconcile with a brother or sister, or if he asks you to ask forgiveness, if he said for you to go to them, even if you weren't in the wrong, he says for you to just ask forgiveness. If he says for you to go encourage somebody, if he goes for you to deliver a word, if he goes for you to pray for someone, then do it. He could ask anyone, but he asked you. And wouldn't it be so cool that he just says, well done, good and faithful servant? He speaks life to us. He only has life for us. Let's live each day to the fullest. It could be our last day. It could be the day he comes back. And we don't want to be ashamed. He's given us so much. So much is required. It's not a heavy thing when you love Jesus. It's not a heavy thing when you love his appearing, that you're looking for his appearing. Occupy until he comes, he says. Do what I'm happy to do. But the greatest thing is we're going to be with him forever, and he's going to serve us.
Thank you, Paul. Paul did a nice job. I really don't have much to add, but I do want to